You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the complex world of enterprise identity, securing legacy web apps at scale can be daunting. Strata Identity makes it simple. With Strata, you can effortlessly integrate non-standard apps with any identity service, like MFA or SSO, with zero coding and zero hassle. Designed by identity architects for identity architects, Strata works with every vendor, standard, and app architecture. This means your apps can now speak modern protocols and integrate seamlessly with your chosen identity services. From securing on-prem web apps to migrating away from outdated identity providers or consolidating them, Strata helps you keep your complex access policies as you modernize your identity infrastructure and get rid of technical debt. Join leading organizations like 3M, Dallas County, and CIBC in securing your apps with Strata. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your identity security priorities, and receive a complimentary pair of AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Connect today at strata.io/cyberwire. COVID-themed fish bait has shifted to vaccines. Notes on the ransomware exploiting vulnerable exchange servers. Purple Fox gets wormy. Sierra Wireless halts operations to remediate a ransomware incident. Notes on ICS vulnerabilities. More victims of third-party risk. Joe Kerrigan looks at SMS security issues. Our guest is Ron Brash from Verve Industrial with takeaways from their 2020 ICS vulnerabilities report. And what are the cyber criminals thinking? From the CyberWire studios at Data Tribe, I'm Dave Bittner with your CyberWire summary for Wednesday, March 24th, 2021. Palo Alto Networks Unit 42 this morning released a report describing the ways in which cyber criminals are taking advantage of the COVID-19 pandemic. The nature of the fish bait has shifted over the course of the pandemic. It began with come-ons for testing kits and personal protection equipment, moved on to government stimulus and relief programs, and now, in what one hopes is a sign of an approaching endgame, it's shifted to vaccine availability. Their reliance on hurrying the victims with a sense of urgency is a familiar social engineering tactic. As the report says, quote, "We found that at each step along the way, attackers have continued to change their chosen tactics to adapt to the latest pandemic trends, in hopes that maintaining a timely sense of urgency will make it more likely for victims to give up their credentials." End quote. The criminals are now exploiting confusion and concern over vaccine availability and vaccination scheduling. As is so often the case, much of the phishing is angling for the victim's credentials. Along with some specific recommendations for defense, Unit 42's general advice is individuals should continue to exercise caution when viewing any emails or websites claiming to sell any goods or services or provide any benefits related to COVID-19. If it seems too good to be true, it most likely is. Employees in the healthcare industry in particular should view links contained in any incoming emails with suspicion, especially from emails trying to convey a sense of urgency. DearCry and Black Kingdom ransomware continue to be deployed against vulnerable Microsoft Exchange servers, but the execution is slovenly, suggesting that even for criminals, haste makes waste. Wired notes that DearCry's relative lack of sophistication renders it a less dangerous threat. It's a bare-bones operation, pretty retro by today's prevailing ransomware standards. No command and control server, and no automated countdown timers. It uses, instead, old-school human interaction to hustle its marks. It lacks obfuscation, and it even engages in some self-jamming, encrypting files that make it difficult or even impossible for the victim to operate their computer, even if the victim wants to pay the ransomware. So the DearCry hoods seem to have been better at jumping aboard the vulnerabilities exposed and exploited by Hafnium than they were at writing good, by which we mean bad, ransomware. Still, there's a risk associated with DearCry, and it's also the case that the operators could learn and evolve their tools into more effective forms. That's already happened with another ransomware strain. The operators of Black Kingdom ransomware, first seen active last summer, have also taken note of the opportunity unpatched Exchange servers present criminals. The Record reports that Black Kingdom's kickoff of its own operations against Exchange servers was also, in some respects, sloppy. They'd failed to encrypt victims' files. By yesterday, however, Black Kingdom had rectified their mistake, Sophos reports. GardaCore describes Purple Fox, an active malware campaign targeting Windows machines. It's backed by an extensive infrastructure, and it includes a rootkit with worm capabilities. GardaCore wrote, quote, "Throughout our research, we have observed an infrastructure that appears to be made out of a hodgepodge of vulnerable and exploited servers hosting the initial payload of the malware, infected machines which are serving as nodes of those constantly worming campaigns, and server infrastructure that appears to be related to other malware campaigns," end quote. In a Form 6K filed yesterday with the Securities and Exchange Commission, Sierra Wireless disclosed that on March 20th, it discovered a ransomware attack that led it to suspend manufacturing. The company believes only internal systems were hit, with customer-facing products and services unaffected. For its part, Honeywell, which had also suspended operations after sustaining an unspecified cyber attack, announced yesterday that it had resumed normal operations. CyberScoop says that Honeywell has remained tight-lipped about the incident. It's not known, for example, whether the attack the company sustained involved ransomware. The U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency yesterday released 6 advisories on industrial control systems. Clarity published its own research on one of those advisories, the one affecting Avaro T-Box, which the researchers believe illustrates the risks of connecting unprotected control systems to the Internet. Such unprotected control systems are readily discoverable through Shodan searches. Federal News Network reports that the third-party breach that affected AFCEA this week has also affected another organization that used the compromised Spargo conference registration software. The U.S. Geospatial Intelligence Foundation has also notified individuals whose data may have been compromised in the incident. And finally, suppose you were a criminal working in cyberspace. Not that you are or would ever be, of course, but just suppose. You'd want to avoid getting caught, right? Sure you would. Anywho, in the spirit of jailhouse lawyering and age-old traditions of master-apprentice mentoring, cyber criminals are offering advice to one another about how to avoid getting collared. The security firm Digital Shadows, and we hasten to add that they're the good guys here, not the crooks, says it got interested in how the underworld views its relations with law enforcement. Do they worry about being arrested? Does the prospect of getting caught deter them? Digital Shadows snooped its way through various online underworld communities and found a lot of chatter about the importance of separating your criminal online identity from your in-real-life, physical, personal, kinetic identity. The identity that brings home beer, for example, that will take a shower every now and then. A lot of that discussion seems folkloric as opposed to technical. The crooks also advise each other to be cautious in their dealings. You can't have friends in the darknet, one representative comment said. That's tough because, of course, most crime involves some sort of collaboration, but cooperation with other crooks also brings risk. A catch-22, Digital Shadows observes. A theme in Russophone circles is to avoid hitting victims in the near abroad, that is, in former Soviet republics. Go after the British and the Americans and your Jake, but mess with the near abroad, and especially with Russians, and you'll wind up in the slammer. This advice has been tempered recently by the Ukrainian authorities' recent arrest and prosecution of criminals who thought they enjoyed a degree of immunity. And once you've embarked on your life of crime, forget about foreign travel, except maybe to places that don't have a lot of extradition treaties in place. That's a downer for vacation plans because, after all, there's only so much to do in Transnistria. There's another advice on what to do when the cops show up, what to expect from prosecutors, and what the realities of prison life might be. The hoods have a lot of worries. So, fellow youths, the best advice is to stay in school and stay on the straight and narrow. If you don't, you'll break your mother's heart. And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its zero-trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust Plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zero-trust-AI. Verve Industrial are providers of OT and ICS security services, and they recently published their ICS advisory report. Ron Brash is Director of Security Insights at Verve Industrial.
These advisory reports are a bit of a table stakes, I think, in the industry nowadays. I think every vendor and their grandmother is producing one. But why we chose to do it and to do it in a slightly different way is I came from an embedded systems engineering background. And one of the reasons that we wrote it and we wrote it the way we did was we don't believe that, you know, CVEs and CVSS scores and all that stuff are perfect, and they're definitely not perfect in OT. But what we wanted to do is to look at the advisors and add more nuance to the discussions, right? For example, you know, we had 200, there was actually slightly more, but we honed it in a bit. But there was 248 advisories in 2020, which was up something like 50% from the year before. But we wanted to talk about it in a different way, right? You know, how do you identify that an advisory is referring to third-party code or supply chain problems? How do you talk about all those other devices that don't have advisories but should have advisories? How do you talk about it from multiple perspectives? You know, there's the asset owner perspective, then there's the cybersecurity professional, if you will, and then there's the sheer looking at it of which vendor might be better than another or not. So there's multiple perspectives there, and we tried to put all that into something cohesive, and I think it turned out pretty good.
Well, let's go through some of the details together. I mean, what are some of the things from the report that stood out to you?
Well, interestingly enough, if you look at just the sheer number of advisories, 36, both in 20, the ones that I just identified on an initial analysis, 36 out of the 248 were supply chain related. And that number coincides with 2019 by sheer fluke. Now, again, this is a thumb in the wind strategy, but that stood out to me because of those 38 supply chain, you know, related vulnerabilities in products or those advisories, that accounted for something like 17 or 18% of all of the vulnerabilities out there. And for me, that was the main point that we were trying to make across is, you know, so you thought SolarWinds was bad. Well, wait till you start looking at software bill of materials and stuff like that, which will be part of the solution. But that was probably one of the most surprising things there.
Is there a general, lack of visibility when it comes to ICS security?
Well, yes and no. I think there's a lot of awareness on vulnerabilities these days because cybersecurity is an Ouroboros, a snake eating its own tail, right? So there, you have multiple agendas competing for marketing FUD and you know, generating all sorts of awareness for their own purposes, right? Because it increases their bottom lines. That's not what we try to do at Verve, and that's the company is not like that, and I'm not like that. But for right or wrong, there has been increased visibility on these things because of things like the Trek IP stack or Urgent 11. We call those, or even like Heartbleed, for example, if you look at the IT world problems, those are what we call branded vulnerability families. And often they have very overreaching claims, but fortunately and unfortunately, fortunately, they get to the boards of large companies, which means that there's awareness at the top of the company, which is good. Nobody was doing that before. Same with ransomware. But the bad is that it's determining whether or not those vulnerabilities are in products is a very, very nuanced discussion. For example, I always quote this, is the presence of a vulnerability does not mean exploitability. So there's awareness of the top levels of organizations, but when it comes to knowing what's inside of your products and then what to do about them, we're really off the mark there.
That's Ron Brash from Verve Industrial. Don't struggle to align your organization's cybersecurity with business risk. Get the only solution that goes beyond reacting to threats with vulnerability and risk monitoring. You need the next evolution of MDR, and only Critical Start delivers it. Critical Start doesn't just monitor and respond to threats. They put you in control by detecting suspicious activities, quickly responding to contain threats, and identifying your most critical assets and protecting them against vulnerabilities and exposures. With continuous visibility, expert guidance, and measurable risk reduction, Critical Start has redefined what it means to manage cyber risk. Demonstrate provable security maturity to your leadership while positioning your program to achieve the greatest risk reduction per dollar spent. Stop fearing risk and start managing it with Critical Start. Visit criticalstart.com and request a demo today. That's criticalstart.com. And joining me once again is Joe Kerrigan. He's from the Johns Hopkins University Information Security Institute and also my co-host on the Hacking Humans podcast. Hey, Joe, good to have you back.
Hi, Dave.
We had this article come by from Vice written by Joseph Cox, and this is titled, "A Hacker Got All My Texts for $16. This one's been making the rounds, and I wanted to check in with you on it. I mean, this is the kind of thing that we talk about over on Hacking Humans. These potential issues with SMS. So what is describe to us what's going on here and give us your take.
So if anybody who's been a longtime listener to this show has heard me talk many times about multi-factor authentication and how you should use multi-factor authentication and the most secure form that you can, wherever you can use it. Unfortunately, the most common form of multi-factor authentication is also the least secure, at least the most common form that I've found in my experience, right? And that is authentication via SMS message. And there are a number of issues with it. You can be the victim of a SIM swapping attack, which is where someone calls into your mobile provider and assigns your account to a new SIM, which is the little device in your phone that identifies your phone to the telephone network.
Right.
They can also use it for social engineering, or via social engineering they can get the code out of you, which is also something that is true with other like pre-shared secret keys. But this new attack actually doesn't require a lot of that. We don't really know if it's a new attack actually.
Right.
That's one of the things this article says, is this has been a capability for a very long time, and
right.
What Joseph Cox is talking about is for $16, you can sign up with a company for a new this service that allows text messages to be redirected to a new location. And they ask you to fill out this letter of authorization, right? But in order to fill out the letter of authorization, there's really not a lot of security checks on it. You can put in fake information, and this company this hacker who called himself Lucky225, who works with a company called Oki Systems, mm-hmm. was able to do this for, you know, buying a prepaid plan for $16 a month, and he was able to transfer all the texts that came from Joseph's providers to him, and Joseph got no notification of this. There was no authorization. There was no first. Let me send a text to your existing phone, and let me make sure this is okay with you. Right? There was none of that. It was just like, okay, we started sending it, and the phone was still connected to the T-Mobile network, mm-hmm. which is really scary. So this is just another attack on this SMS two-factor authentication. Now, of course, the question comes that everybody's going to ask, and ask me in particular, because I'm still an advocate for this: should I continue to use SMS multi-factor authentication? And I still say yes. If that's the best that you can get from the institution you're dealing with or from the website you're dealing with, if they offer anything else, now is the time to move on, right?
Yeah, right. It's way better than nothing.
Right.
But there are things that are way better than it.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's going to be way better than nothing, especially with this attack, because there is a cost associated with this attack. So this attack is not scalable, right? Like, credential stuffing is scalable. I can take a million credentials and try them on a million websites, and I can automate that
and
do that. But I can't go out and perform this attack on a million people without $16 million, which I may not be willing to spend. I'm sure I can do it for less, actually. But there's some limit to this. There's got to be some limit to this as well with the companies that provide these kind of services.
And the company who's mentioned in this article, as Joseph Cox points out, they say that they've cracked down on this. But since it was pointed out to them, they've made it more difficult to do. So that's good. But the article also points out they're not the only company who does this.
And there are some companies, I get the feeling out there, that might be doing this with a wink and a nod, right? And yeah, we get it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I think the bigger issue here, which is something that drew the attention of Senator Ron Wyden, which is that he says that the FCC needs to crack down on this sort of thing, that things are too loosey-goosey when it comes to SMS, just that the companies are even capable of doing this sort of thing. That's a problem, and it's a long time coming. It's been way too long since the FCC took a closer look at this, from Senator Wyden's point of view. So
I would agree.
Maybe
this
will draw some attention to it.
Yeah, I hope so. And I hope that the FCC is paying attention. I hope that they are thinking about putting in some new regulation that make this more difficult. And I don't like the idea that somebody can just pay another company $16 to take all my text messages. And I really don't like the idea that that can happen without me getting any notification or any way for me to find out. At least with a SIM swapping attack, my phone stops working, right?
I
can look at my phone and go, hey, something's wrong. But this, you get none of that. You just stop receiving texts.
Yeah, it's an interesting revelation for sure. Again, it's over on the Vice website, written by Joseph Cox. It's titled, A Hacker Got All My Texts for $16. Joe Kerrigan, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Dave.
And that's the CyberWire. For links to all of today's stories, check out our daily briefing at thecyberwire.com. And for professionals and cybersecurity leaders who want to stay abreast of this rapidly evolving field, sign up for CyberWire Pro. It'll save you time and keep you informed. It's the pause that refreshes. Listen for us on your Alexa smart speaker, too. The CyberWire podcast is proudly produced in Maryland out of the startup studios of Data Tribe, where they're co-building the next generation of cybersecurity teams and technologies. Our amazing CyberWire team is Elliot Heltzman, Peru Prakash, Kelsey Bond, Tim Nodar, Joe Kerrigan, Carol Terrio, Ben Yellen, Nick Vilecki, Gina Johnson, Bennett Moe, Chris Russell, John Petrick, Jennifer Iben, Rick Howard, Peter Kilpie, and I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here tomorrow. And now a word from our sponsor, SpyCloud, the leader in operationalizing cybercrime analytics. Traditional threat intelligence is a thing of the past. Cyber criminals are stealing vast amounts of credentials, session cookies, and financial data every day, and it's hard to keep up. SpyCloud is the trusted partner businesses turn to fully understand their darknet exposure risk and neutralize threats before it's too late. SpyCloud alerts your organization as soon as an employee or customer's data appears on the dark net, so you can act faster than bad actors to prevent cyber attacks like ransomware, session hijacking, account takeover, and online fraud. With insights from the industry's largest repository of recaptured data, protect the digital identities and systems most important to your business. Get your free corporate darknet exposure report at spycloud.com/cyberwire and see what information criminals have in their hands today. That's spycloud.com/cyberwire.